We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use it for rebound if necessary. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we continue our pursuit of truth, it is our prayer that as we provide the positive volition, the Holy Spirit's power will make it real in our souls for application to our daily lives. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We need to consider the current zeitgeist of the United States. Almost every idea, almost every tactic, every protest, every act of violence, every angry mob with an alleged grievance is as old as Lucifer's propaganda with Esau and Cain's tactics with Abel. It's all rebooted rebellion. Simply what Lucifer did in eternity past that created what we call the angelic conflict. And as the Lord did not stop with this prohibition against the cosmos, He went on to prohibit us from, quote, loving the things of the world. The world was created in absolute perfection. That's Genesis 1:1. A perfect God does not create anything that is not perfect. And therefore, when He created the universe in a yactosecond, everything was up and running and perfect. And we do not know how long that perfection lasted. We just know that in verse 2, we find out that it did come to an end. And therefore, there is the darkness that occurred. Everything was locked in place. And the trial of Lucifer, therefore, commenced. When it was decided that there would be an appeal permitted, therefore, that's where verse 3 starts. The time factor that takes up both verses 1 and 2 is unknown. It could be a number of millennia. It could be a number of years. We don't know. But I can tell you this, that once man was created and the process began in verse 3 and following, when man was created, they were perfect. They, meaning Adam and Esau. There was nothing wrong with these people. Absolute perfection. They didn't have a sin nature. God does not create anything that is imperfect. And therefore, for a sin nature to emerge, it had to be because of negative volition, which did occur in Genesis 3. And therefore, that means that the appeal must go forward. These people are going to die eventually. It took about 900 years, but they did eventually die. And that process began after the fall. And therefore, since man is going to die, and since each and every one of us are designed to be witnesses for the prosecution in that appeal, it means that how are we going to get more witnesses? And that had to do with procreation, and we continue to supply the angelic battle with those that have the opportunity to join up in the army of God. And as we join up systematically over time, and as other Homo sapiens join the battle through procreation, we keep moving forward. And so as we do these things, the real issue has to do with whether we'll sign up with the army of God or the army of the dark side. The Lord did not stop with His prohibition against the cosmos. He went on to prohibit us from loving the things of the world. Post-fall, that is the concept. And the world has allurements that attract the attention of those that do not have the Word of God in their souls. There are plenty of things to do in this world that do not honor God. A lot of things that are quite attractive, legitimately so. And I'm not saying that this world doesn't have a lot to offer. Obviously, it does. But it doesn't offer eternal life. The world's going to go away. We are going to outlast the world. The world's got to go because it's fallen. And God is not going to allow that. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. That's Revelation 22. So He's going to blow this whole universe to smithereens in a yactosecond. And then when that happens, we're going to be able to begin a process that will last for all eternity. In the meantime, things are not as nice. This is a fallen environment in which we live. And there are people out there that are emissaries for the dark side, and they want to capture your thought process. And they have people to do it for us. You send your kids to public schools, send them to public universities. They're propaganda mills for the dark side, by and large. Everywhere you go, even at Alabama. So anywhere you send your children, they're going to be propagandized by the emissaries that have been recruited by none other than the chief of darkness, Lucifer himself. So you have to know that. You have to buy into it. And you have to figure out, how am I going to be able to inform my children of the truth when they're confronted all day long, every day, with a lie? That their volition may vote against it. That's, you know, volition is free. Nevertheless, it is imperative to have the knowledge that we're at war. And it is an invisible war. The combat is with thought, not handheld artillery. The world promotes diminishment of standards and personal responsibility, evils that result in an anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-establishment mentality. We see that playing out in our society. The Bible teaches this. There's nothing new about it. Loving the world has to do with one's adoption of the world's thought processes, character traits, behavior patterns, and lifestyles that produce opposition to God and opposition to His Word. We just had a visitor, first session, that came in. A ringer. And he was intercepted over in the cafeteria area where we have people posted. And he was interrogated in a very Christian kind of way. And asked him how he liked the first session. He said, well, about half truth and half lies. So, that's free will. Fine with me. That's fine with me if that's his analysis. But he wanted more information on drinking from the golden cup. And no, I'm just telling you, it's things people have in their minds. And so there's a golden cup out there somewhere, and I am supposed to have mentioned that so that he would know where to go to drink from it. So he decided to leave with a copy of The Angelic Conflict. So he might muse with that. But look, he came in and he left, and that's okay. But we have to check people out today. People are coming into churches and causing problems, and we didn't know this guy. And he just blunders in after the class had already started. So the guys over there have to check this out. It's not being rude. Be here on time, sit down, shut up, and fake it till you make it. That's our policy here, and this guy just blunders in. And so we had to find out what's going on. And so he was interrogated, and so the golden cup deal came up. It was suggested maybe that you had to be here six times before you could drink from the golden cup. And so that seemed to frustrate him about the golden cup problem. So he left. He's going to go next door, I'm sure. Loving the world has to do with one's adoption of the world's thought processes. See that? Golden cup. The Operation Golden Cup is what this guy's... do you see how that is alluring to him? That's dark side stuff. But I'm asking you, who would want to drink from a golden cup? I mean, come on now. Can you drink from a golden cup? Do you have golden cups at your house? Do you know anyone that has a golden cup? And if you had a golden cup, would you drink from it? That's what this guy wants to do. That's the devil's world stuff. And it came right into this room here. Loving the world has to do with one's adoption of the world's thought processes, character traits, behavior patterns, lifestyles, opposition to the Word of God. And he thinks the golden cup is mentioned in Revelation. Now, I don't claim to be a student of the Word, but I don't know anything about a golden cup in Revelation. Now, if you know the golden cup passage, maybe we could hand that off to him next time he comes. Anyhow, that's dark side stuff. This is followed by the prohibition of loving the things of the world. And this phrase is connected to the one before by the negative particle mayday, nor, and its function is to continue the preceding prohibition. And so the things have to do with the abundant distractions that the world offers to those who are functioning in the cosmic systems. And there are a lot of things to distract us today with electronic contrivances. And all of those are magnificent, by the way. We go global on every Bible class we have with the Internet. Who knew? I didn't know. I was trying to help out the people over in Illinois who couldn't drive across the river for midweek classes. Paul says, how about we have a website? I said, why would we do this? He said, so the people over in Illinois can get Bible class midweek. I said, sterling idea. And then all of a sudden, you go global all of a sudden, not just across the river, the whole planet. We had a guy, somebody is listening in China. That's a good start, I guess. The next sentence begins with an example of what happens when a person loves the world. Here's the quote now. If anyone loves the world, it begins with the process of a third class condition. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, which is introduced by the conditional particle aeon, translated if. So when you see the if clause, you got to wonder, is it first, second, third, or fourth class condition? And in this case, it's third class, so maybe yeah, maybe no. A third class condition indicates the uncertainty of fulfillment, but still likely to occur. Such a condition requires the verb to be in the subjunctive mood, so we have the present active subjunctive of the verb agapao, and is translated, if anyone keeps loving the devil's world. So it's an ongoing process. If you keep on loving the devil's world, that's it. If this is true, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but there are a lot of people that do, so that's third class condition. And the object of the love is the world. Now, maybe he is, or maybe he is not, but the hypothesis indicates the latter, the love of the Father, is not in him. If you love the devil's world, and you do, then the love of the Father is not in you. Why is that? Because you can't have two masters. Either going to be the world, or it's going to be the Father, one of the two. Can't have both. Some people want to jockey back and forth and do, but that's not a very beneficial process. So the verb is the present active indicative of I me. The present tense indicates punctiliar action in present time, while the active voice places this person in the cosmic systems. And he is outside the bubble and therefore vulnerable to the wiles of the cosmic system's various temptations. Dependent on how long he has been out of fellowship determines how deeply invested he is in the dark side's strategies and tactics. And we're talking potentially a believer here. You get into the dark side, stay there long enough, you inhibit whatever doctrine you had, you facilitate concepts in the dark side. And therefore you begin to think as the world thinks. And that's cosmos. It has to do with the cosmos diabolicus world system. Whatever his degree of involvement, the declarative indicative mood certifies that his indulgence in the world's inventory of temptations is presently occurring in real time. Here's the expanded translation of verse 15. Stop the persistent habit of loving cosmos diabolicus or loving the things of the cosmic systems. Then you will find that, at least I have, I've underlined this because I want to emphasize it. If anyone keeps loving the cosmic systems, the love of the Father is not in him. See, it has to be avoided. How do you avoid this? How do you avoid the cosmic system? You have to know it exists. Now, I'm telling you, as you've been with me for 33 years now, you know this. You know that there is a cosmic setup, cosmos. And as Dr. Chafer said, cosmos diabolicus. So you've got the world and you've got the devil. So it's the devil's world. That's his Latin term for that. And so if he's running the show, that means that he has a curriculum. The Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. He teaches that outside the doors. Everywhere you go, that concept is available. And the communicators of that have to do with someone who's bought into it. Who's bought into this? A lot of people in this country have bought into the cosmic lie, and it sounds good to them. That's what you have to understand. He constructs all of this so that it can lure people who are the benighted. The benighted become excited about the things the world presents to them, and they buy into this. There are a lot of people causing a lot of trouble around this country because they bought into the lie, and they think it's the truth. That's the volition for you. Okay, let's keep moving. 1 John 2:16 reads this way in the New American Standard. For all that is in the world, comma, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, comma, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So what does the world provide for us? Lust of the flesh. What does that mean now? Don't get tawdry now. What is the lust of the flesh? Lust patterns come from the sin nature, which is in every cell of the body. You have a sin nature within the inner workings of your biology, every cell. And it has lust patterns. Okay, we've studied the lust patterns. The lust patterns can be like robbery, stealing. You want other people's stuff, go get that. There's murder lust. You want to kill somebody. And I can understand that. Some people need killing. But we do not have the authority to do that unless we are among the authorities that have that power. We can say that person needs to get killed. But we can't do it. But it's obvious some people need killing. That's all I'm saying. Then there are other kinds of lusts. What kind of lust would that be? Well, there's monetary lust. I want to get all the money I can rake into my sack here. And there's that. Then what you're thinking, let's say there's sexual lust. That's the first thing that popped in your mind. It's because you're perverts. But nevertheless, your sexual lust is one of the things you can perk up and say, oh, why don't I try that? So there are all kinds of things that are in the world that you can decide in your mind, my lust pattern says, I want to do this, rob a bank, whatever. And then you go about trying to figure out how to do it. Then also there are thought processes with regard to how you think other people ought to be living their lives. Then you get into politics. We begin this process by going back to the original creation of the human soul in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26. And Elohim, I put that in there, it's plural, therefore the Trinity is involved in this in Genesis 1, 26. And Elohim said, now we've got a quote, let us, see plural there, plural pronoun, let us manufacture, that's the Kal imperfect of Asa, to make out of existing materials. Oh my, well if the creation of the universe is bara, no existing materials, just all of a sudden, it was there, yaktosekhen, universe. Now we have Asa, to create something out of existing materials. Well, what's that going to produce? Well, we must read on. And Elohim said, let us manufacture mankind in our own image. And we have Be'Tselem, our shadow image, after our own pattern, Kedemuth, meaning the soul. So the soul is going to be part of this creation, you see. And so Elohim created bara to create from nothing, physical, therefore the soul. The soul was created by Ra. The body is created by the concept of Asa. See the difference? Soul, bara, body, Asa. And therefore, Elohim created the man in his own image. That's soul concept. Now, this passage documents the divine plan to create the soul, which would be imputed to the physical body of Adam. And his body was created, therefore, in Genesis 2, 7. So now we have a creative act by God. Why? Because he is going to demonstrate to the dark side, Lucifer and his fallen angels, that a being created by God, as the angels were, angels created perfect, Adam created perfect, therefore, but less than the angels, with exception of the fact he has the same free will as the angels have. So, same volition, everything else is diminished in man as far as intelligence and so on. So, dumber people are going to be asked to resolve the angelic conflict. You're the bunch of dummies here, you see. And so, you're not an angel. You don't think on that level. They do. They're really smart characters. But the people that will resolve this debate will be a bunch of dummies. How can you argue with that when it's all over with? When it's all over with and we win the battle, what's that got to say to the angelic creation that sinned and fell? We were smart enough, we were good enough, and by God, we deserve it. That's what they're thinking. And they lose. Each member of the human race comes into this life as Adam was created, physical body through procreation, plus the divine imputation of the invisible soul to the body, and that produced human life. Let's see, we got a picture. I don't like that one. I have another one down here somewhere. Well, this is a good picture. I just thought it had election. We have soul life imputed to biological life, and that's human life. If anybody in here has ever had a baby, that'd be the ladies, then what goes on at the moment, you know, little Fred enters the room? This is human, biological life right here. This is not a person yet. You got to be a soul. The on switch doesn't happen until soul life is imputed by God to biological life. The dichotomy. You have to have, the soul is the engine that runs the body. All right. So you have biological life and soul life. When that imputation occurs, you've got human life. Wang. Then we have Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed sin nature, and that's spiritual death. So the child is right here, human life. So there's human life, but spiritual death. That's not good, but that's the way this works. So what are you going to do with this thing? I mean, you're a believer. Let's say you're a believer family, a husband and a wife, believers, and all of a sudden you invite one of the enemies into the house. And at two, they start showing you that they're going to control that whole show. They have a sin nature. They've got lust patterns. And they strategize as to how they're going to rule the house. They're little bitty people running the house. Little bitties. So you try to get them saved. That's a good starting place. Let's get them saved. And so you take them to Sunday school and you teach them Bible studies at home, show them pictures. This is Jesus and all this business. Get them oriented. And so when the mind starts clicking a little bit, then you start giving all the data that you need to give them. At some point, volition is going to click here. At some point. What do you think about Jesus? He's a Jew. You know, Jews. So he's anti-Semitic. So you got a problem with that. What do you do? So you just keep plugging away. So finally he says, yes, I believe that. That's election. Now you got trichotomy. You got a soul and you got a body and you got the human spirit, which then can filter divine thought into the soul. Okay. So this is good. But he's dumb as a post. He's saved. He knows he's going to heaven when he dies, but he still wants to kill you. So over here, spiritual birth, God the Father imputes eternal life to the human spirit and his righteousness to the regenerate person, which is this like 12-year-old. And the 12-year-old, all he knows is when he dies, he's going to go to heaven. Okay? What else is on his mind? Rebellion. I'm going to kill these people. But then you say, okay, now he can do doctrine. Now I can teach him the things in Scripture that will organize his soul where he can be honorable at some point. Now, Margaret, I realize that he's a potential mass murderer, bank robber, Democrat, but he's got all of these things going on in his mind, and we've got to see if we can't try and filter some of that out. So by the time he's 18 or 21, depending on what state you live in, he gets to be an adult, and then he can turn loose on society, and you just hope for the best. See you. You may call the local authorities and say, be on the lookout for little Fred Johnson. He's dangerous. Very dangerous. The invisible soul is in the image of the Trinity, while the body was manufactured out of existing materials. So you have the invisible and the visible, and it comes together. The makeup of the human body, both male and female, has always been the same. The makeup. There was no evolutionary sequence from lower creation to that of Homo sapiens over the course of billions of years. That is a lie cooked up right out of thin air. This little guy was floating around Africa, okay? Floating around Africa. He was on a boat. And I guess they got hungry and wanted to try to look for some truffles or rutabagas or something. So they got off on this island called Gallipolis. And they go there and they find all these strange creatures. And a light went on in this man's mind. It says, "Oh, I believe I've discovered evolution." This is my grandfather, Fred the lizard. And, look over there, an amoeba. So that's my bloodline. He came up with this out of thin air. And there's nothing, absolutely no proof of this. None. I know you've been to school and you were told it was the way you came here. But I'm telling you, it's a bold-faced lie from the dark side. Yet people buy now, "Oh, sure, this is exactly the way things happen." The contention that this occurred is ludicrous and unprovable, since there is no physical proof of creatures that evolved into more complex forms during the interim. Evolution has never been classified as a law, ever. If it's a legitimate course in academia, they've never called it a law. It is a theory. But the lack of substantial physical evidence reduces it to a weak hypothesis, though in fact it is nothing more than a brilliant fable concocted by the dark side to confuse the benighted, which would be students. Confuse the benighted. I've done the study, I've done the research, I've read that guy, all of his compatriots. None of it locks down anything. It's the same nebulous assertions as we have for global warming. The angels run the weather, get over it. It is the soul that ignites human life, and the soul was created so that Adam would become an animated being. The body is useless without the soul. So let's conclude with the next three points. It is the soul that contains the animating power of the body, for its essence is made up of self-consciousness, mentality, volition, and norms and standards called the conscience. And that's what you see a breakdown there. Now, you can't see the soul, but you are alive, so you have a soul. It was imputed to your biological life at physical birth. Therefore, you are Homo sapiens. Self-consciousness means you're aware of things and your surroundings. You have mentality. Nous is a receptive comprehension, incoming data. It can be academic or it can be biblical, but you take in information. And that's the nous. You have academic understanding. Whether you really buy into it or not is volitional. Now, like me, I went into an academic class back in the day, and I was going to take algebra, they said I had to do. And then Ms. McCullough started putting formulae up on the board. And there were no numbers. And I think, man, poor woman, you know, she probably needs to retire. So I got the incoming data, but no comprehension. So I never got cardia on algebra. Okay. But, you know, other things that we use words and numbers, I got that. So you have perceptive comprehension here. So whatever you've learned and you believe in it and you apply it, that's cardia stuff. And this is the soul. Please remember we're soul here. Then the conscience. You don't really grasp the idea that the conscience is a positive aspect when children are born. They are terrorists. They plot and scheme. They seek to overthrow the authorities of the household. See, that's the soul working. That's the conscience. The conscience, right? But somewhere in the deep recesses, there's this thing called right and wrong. And the right now, is what he wants to do. The wrong is what the parents want to do. So you see, the conscience is trying to figure out who's running the show. And that's why you have parents. And that's why the country is being destroyed, is because the family has been disorganized, broken up, and scattered. Do away with the family, you do away with the peace and prosperity of a client nation. That's where Lucifer starts. Now, conscience, norms, and standards. This has to be developed by parents, which includes mama and daddy. And therefore, note, the emotion is not a part of the soul. Emotion comes up from the body and is a responder, not an initiator. So it responds either to the lie or responds to the truth, one of the two. But emotion is not part of the soul. Now, let's take a look at this picture. These characteristics organize the stream of consciousness, either positively or negatively. Frame of reference, memory center, vocabulary, categorical storage, development of the conscience, from which emerges doctrinal momentum and wisdom. And you see, therefore, that when data comes in, and that's gnosis, well, I get it academically, but over here I believe it, that's faith, and so it's epignosis with regard to doctrine. And therefore, you have these seven categories here. And that's the stream of consciousness. And incoming data separated out in the soul by the Holy Spirit. You have categories here. And you draw from those. Okay, you've done that. Then you've got, how do you sustain this over the long haul to take in doctrine, retain it, and apply it over time? There has to be a way to manage incoming data from the dark side. And that's problem-solving devices over here. And you learn those. You start out with rebound. I sin. I am a sinner. Kids do not believe that. No, I'm running the show here, buddy. No, you tell them, no, you think wrong things. You think doing things in a wrong way. You've got to learn there are right and wrong things to do. Otherwise, you'll be a terrorist. And so, rebound, confess your sins. It's grace. You don't have to do anything. No hand jive. Just confess it. Then you have the Holy Spirit's going to guide you with the little doctrine you know. You're a dummy. You have no doctrine. You're going to have to get the Spirit before this does this. So the human spirit is going to do this for you. Right in here is the stream of consciousness. And then the filling of the Holy Spirit follows rebound. And if the Spirit's filling you, okay, it does, it says it right here, then you're going to learn how to manage the problems you ensue with faith rest. And you got to learn some promises, and that's what mom and daddy are for. Then you get grace oriented. And then you get doctrinal orientation. You know a doctrine. I go to heaven when I die, whatever. And to hear personal sense of destiny. What's your destiny? Do you know your destiny? Your destiny is you are not going to die. The body will die. The soul never dies. You believed in Christ. You have eternal life. Pretty good, huh? So what does that give you? That gives you courage. Courage to wade into the angelic conflict. Personal sense of destiny. I know the end game. I have the power of thought in my soul. I can live this life and be advantageous not only to myself, my family, and others, but I serve God. In the process, He gives me the power. And therefore, you have personal love for God. That will enable you to love others, although they need killing. Get that? Do you get that? You love others even though they need killing. And if they need killing and you don't do the killing, that means everybody else you can manage. Right there. And then you share the happiness of God. That is the copacetic spiritual life. Are you copacetic today? You know what copacetic means? Copacetic means that everything is going exactly as I would have it. And bombardment's going to be coming in and you'll say, I'm good with this. I can manage this. I've got an inventory to draw from. God put this in my path for a reason. He wants me to manage it with the power of His Word. And so ultimately you have occupation with Christ. One more picture and you can go home. The body is developed through the genetic influence of male and female parents. At physical birth, biological life emerges from the womb to which soul life is imputed, resulting in human life. And so that's what I just showed you a while ago. I've got a better diagram. I don't know why I put this in here. I've got one that gives a lot of information down here that's necessary. So I'll just bring a better picture on Wednesday evening, and we'll go through point 12 again and then proceed. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Word, the privilege of gathering here. We thank You for the concept, the doctrine, the power that's found in Your Word, made possible by the teaching ministries of the Holy Spirit. It is our prayer that what we've done here today will contribute to the advance, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?